This is the Torah. Torah 101. Continuing in our study through Exodus, Shemot. Chapter 16 today, verse 11. And Adonai said to Moshe, I have heard the grumblings of the people of Israel. Say to them, at dusk you will be eating meat, and in the morning you will have your fill of bread. Then you will realize that I am Adonai your God. That evening quails came up and covered the camp, while in the morning there was a layer of dew all around the camp. When the dew had evaporated, there on the surface of the desert was a fine flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they asked each other, Manhu? Meaning, what is it? Because they didn't know what it was. Moshe answered them, it is the bread which Adonai has given you to eat. So now the appearance of man or manna, as it has become known, appearing with the dew of the morning. The ancient rabbis taught that the dew would settle on the ground as normal. The manna would appear above the dew, and then a layer of dew would be over the manna, as if the manna was being presented in a box, like a gift. Verse 16, here is what Adonai has ordered. Each man is to gather according to his appetite. Each is to take an omer, or 2 quarts, per person for everyone in his tent. The people of Israel did this. Some gathered more, some less. But when they put it in an omer measure, whoever had gathered much had no excess, and whoever had gathered little had no shortage. Nevertheless, each person had gathered according to his appetite. Rashi explains this in the following way, quote, some gathered too much manna and some gathered too little, but when they came home, they measured with an omer each one what he had gathered, and they found that the one who had gathered too much had actually not exceeded an omer for each person who was in his tent, and the one who had gathered too little did not find less than an omer for each person. This was a great miracle that occurred with the manna. It had a sort of built-in regulator, a miraculous regulation, an equalization of the amount, that if you took too much, it would sort of be leveled out automatically, and if you took too little, it would level it up so that there was no shortage. The miraculous manna. Moshe told them, verse 19, no one is to leave any of it until the morning. But they didn't pay attention to Moshe, and some kept the leftovers until morning. It bred worms and rotted, which made Moshe angry at them. the ancient Midrash on this verse about some keeping the manna until the next day actually names the two, Dathan and Abiram. And that later these two men were involved in the rebellion against Moshe in the desert. It says here they didn't pay attention to him. Verse 21, so they gathered it morning after morning, each person according to his appetite. But as the sun grew hot, it melted. The ancient rabbis taught that what remained of the manna in the field melted and became streams from which deer and gazelles drank. And the nations of the world would hunt some of them, these animals, and taste in them the flavor of manna, and know how great Israel's praise was. So the manna was given morning by morning, enough for that one day. Again, Yeshua teaching us to pray mentions this, give us this day our daily bread, day by day. We, of course, live in the days of Costco and bulk ordering and stocking up. But God was teaching his people to go day by day and just trust him for that one day. No need to worry about the future that we don't know what will come. Day by day, simple faith, simple trust. A great cure for anxiety as well. Just focusing on this day and getting through it. One day at a time, enough manna for that day. Verse 22, on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers per person. And all the community leaders came and reported to Moshe. He told them, this is what Adonai has said. Tomorrow is a holy Shabbat for Adonai. Bake what you want to bake, boil what you want to boil. Apparently the manna could be prepared in any fashion that you felt like. Whatever recipe you could come up with, baking, boiling. And whatever is left over, set aside and keep for the morning. So now, on the sixth day, Yom HaShishi, Thursday night until Friday night, there would be enough manna produced and given to you to last not only for the sixth day, but also through the seventh day. Because God would rest on Shabbat and would not create the manna on the day of rest, on the Sabbath. Even God made that a priority. The ancients explained that Moshe was actually in the wrong for not explaining this in advance, not explaining the importance of Shabbat, and was one of the reasons why he was counted with the rebels who perished in the wilderness, who never made it in to the land of Israel, because he hesitated and delayed the explanation of Shabbat. Verse 24, they set it aside till morning, as Moshe had ordered, and it didn't rot or have worms. Moshe said, today, eat that. Because today is a Shabbat for Adonai. Today you won't find it in the field. Gather it 6 days, but the seventh day is the Shabbat. On that day, there won't be any. However, on the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather and found none. Adonai said to Moshe, How long will you refuse to observe my mitzvot, my commandments, and teachings? Notice the voice of God. How long will you refuse to observe? Moshe had made Shabbat a non-priority, apparently. Delayed explaining it to the people. And now people are de-emphasizing Shabbat, going out into the field, looking for the manna anyway, going out, expecting the Shabbat day to be the same as other days. And God here speaks to Moses again, how long will you refuse to observe my commandments and teachings? Look, Adonai has given you the Shabbat, verse 29. Take note of that. The Sabbath day is given to you as one would be given a gift. I think of what Yeshua said about Shabbat. He said, Shabbat was made for man and not man for Shabbat. It's much the same as what we're reading here. God gave us Shabbat for our sake, for our blessing, as a gift. Verse 29 continues, this is why he is providing bread for 2 days on the sixth day. Each of you, stay where you are. No one is to leave his place on the seventh day. And this is where later the rabbis would conclude that we weren't to travel too far from our homes on Shabbat, and they placed certain geographic restrictions on how far you could walk. It became known as a Sabbath day's journey, which we read about even in the New Testament. Each of you stay where you are. Don't go too far. No one is to leave his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. And there it is. There's the gift of rest, a full day of resting, enjoying God, enjoying your family, enjoying a time of just quiet, time to seek God, to be in His Word. Imagine if you took one 24-hour period every week and did that, and maybe even go offline. No computer, no phone, no electronics, and just have quiet and peace. Imagine how different your life might be if you had that once a week. That recharge. It's a gift from God. He even said, I am giving it to you. Enjoy the gift. Enter into it. I always tell people, just try it. Try the day of rest. The people rested on the seventh day. Verse 31, the people called the food man. I'll just say manna, because that's what it's commonly known by. It was like coriander seed, which is round. Didn't necessarily taste like coriander. It just appeared round like coriander seed, white in color. And it tasted like honey cakes. So it was sweet, round and sweet like honey. Hence, every Shabbat we have the challah, bread on the Sabbath table, probably for this reason, because challah has a slight sweetness to it, and it's by design, the similar type of bread. But this was more than bread. This was like a superfood, a supernatural food. We have superfoods today, but this was supernatural and probably contained and was packed with nutrients and proteins that it was all you needed to eat to make those long days and long walks in the wilderness. Moshe said, verse 32, here is what Adonai has ordered. Let 2 quarts of manna be kept through all your generations, so that they will be able to see the bread which I fed you in the desert when I brought you out of Egypt. Moshe said to Aaron, take a jar, put in it 2 quarts of manna, and set it aside before Adonai to be kept through all your generations. Later in the scriptures, we will see that this jar of manna made its way into the Ark of the Covenant and was there on display for generations to know that this is how God took care of his people in the wilderness. Just as Adonai ordered Moshe, Aaron set it aside before the testimony to be kept. It says the people of Israel ate manna for 40 years until they came to an inhabited land. They ate manna until they arrived at the borders of the land of Canaan. And finally, an omer is 1/10 of an ephah, which is a bushel dry measure. Now later, Yeshua, our Redeemer, would speak of this manna. In John 6:48, he said, I am the bread which is life. Your fathers ate the manna in the desert, they died. But the bread that comes down from heaven is such that a person may eat it and not die. I am the living bread that has come down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. Torah 101 Daily.